stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, November 19th. The county votes to support legal efforts to restore Medi-Cal funds for Planned Parenthood. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The Oceanside Police Department is implementing a program that allows members of the public to voluntarily register their security cameras into a police database. It's part of their Connect Oceanside program. Volunteers are then added to a network of cameras. OPD says that registering does not give the department a live feed into the cameras, but instead provides exact camera location information. If an incident occurs near a registered camera, officers can then request footage from the camera's owner, which could aid in an investigation. OPD claims that any video received will remain confidential and is only used for law enforcement purposes. Critics of mass surveillance technologies worry these programs do not have proper community oversight and safeguards in place. Home sales across the county are slightly up. The California Association of Realtors says single-family detached home sales rose almost 3% in October. A home in La Jolla sold for $47 million, with another in Del Mar selling for $50 million, both in October. Southern California broker and realtor Tamara Siminski says home prices are growing at a manageable pace and we're seeing a healthier balance between buyers and sellers. The Union Tribune reports we are in a K-shaped economy, referring to the gap between affluent consumers who are seeing their wealth increase and lower and middle income consumers who are struggling financially. The 17th annual USA Pickleball Championships are making their San Diego debut. USA Pickleball organizers say it's the longest running event in the pickleball world, with events going through this Sunday. About 2,500 athletes are competing in this year's event. Last year's event held in Arizona contributed over $3.5 million to the local economy, according to USA Pickleball. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
San Diego County is now supporting efforts to bring back the ability to use Medi-Cal insurance at Planned Parenthood clinics. Here's reporter John Carroll.
We are here today because Donald Trump is trying to take basic health care away from tens of thousands of San Diegans.
San Diego County Supervisor Board Chair Tara Lawson-Reamer at a Tuesday morning news conference spelling out what she says are the consequences of a provision in the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. That legislation, passed last July, forbids Medi-Cal from reimbursing nonprofit health centers like Planned Parenthood that also offer abortion services. Victoria Lara is a patient at Planned Parenthood.
I myself have counted on Planned Parenthood for compassionate and affordable sexual and reproductive health care. If I didn't have Planned Parenthood, it would have devastating consequences for myself and for hundreds of thousands of other patients across San Diego County.
Later on Tuesday morning, the Board of Supervisors voted to direct the county's lawyer to support efforts by California Attorney General Rob Bonta and other state attorneys general to repeal the defund provision. A decision from a federal appeals court is pending. John Carroll, KPBS News.
San Diego County supervisors approved a new partnership this week that they say will delay the impact of federal funding cuts. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says it relies on money from local philanthropists.
San Diego County leaders say families are already feeling the effect of federal funding cuts. To help fill the $300 million budget hole, the county is partnering with three local philanthropic organizations.
We have to be creative and collaborative and build safety nets to protect San Diego families.
Supervisor Tara Lawson Reamer says the county and the San Diego Foundation would each put in $18 million over 2 years. It will create a $36 million fund to shield existing county-funded nonprofit programs from federal cuts. The money will support
food banks, housing and homelessness efforts, and fill healthcare gaps.
It also includes $8 million in additional funds that will provide emergency food and housing support for families who have lost federal benefits. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
While patriots fought against the British in the American Revolution 250 years ago on the East Coast, people in the San Diego region were on a parallel track. Local historian and University of San Diego professor David Miller told Amita Sharma recently that in some cases, people on both coasts were motivated by one key event.
Set the scene for me, David. It's 1775. The American Revolution has just started on the East Coast. What had happened recently in the San Diego region?
It was a few years before, in 1769, that the Spanish first arrived in a permanent way. They'd been here very briefly with Cabrillo in 1542, but 1769 is the first permanent Spanish settlement. And so you would have had, above what is now Old Town and the Presidio Hill, the establishment of the Presidio, and the mission had moved to its present location up in Mission Valley. It was a mix of Spanish soldiers and civil officials, and then over at the mission, a couple of padres, friars, and then, of course, a mix of the native Kumeyaay people, some who lived around the Presidio, some who lived at the mission, and the vast majority who lived out in villages and towns around the county.
So in 1775, on the East Coast, the people living in the colonies were waging war against the British for independence. Indigenous people in the San Diego region were getting started on their own revolt. Tell me about that.
Yes. So at almost the exact same time, November of 1775, the Kumeyaay, specifically the Kumeyaay that live south of the San Diego River, the Tipi, they organized a revolt against the presence of the Spanish. And so November 4th and 5th, they sent soldiers, warriors, to surround the Presidio and occupy the Spanish soldiers, while another contingent went over to the mission itself and actually attacked the mission, burned it down, dragged one of the fathers, Father Jaime, out down to the San Diego River where they murdered him. But this was all, in the big picture, a response to Spanish colonial presence in San Diego. And so the Kumeyaay were, not to draw too many parallels, it's certainly different, but while the Americans are responding in their own way to English colonial realities, the Kumeyaay were responding to the Spanish colonial realities.
What's the connection between the French and Indian War, the American Revolution, the Kumeyaay Revolt, and the founding of San Diego?
The French and Indian War, the result of it was that essentially Britain was ascendant in North America. And the French left for the most part. And it set the conditions that would eventually lead to the American Revolution, specifically issues about land, the presence of British troops, and taxes. At the exact same time, it sets the conditions for what's going to become the establishment of San Diego. Remember, the Spanish had been here in 1542, but left. But as a result of the war and the reshuffling of global powers, the Spanish realized we need to have a stronger claim on our lands in Alta California in case the British get any ideas.
What is your sense about what people on the East Coast knew about what was happening here in San Diego at the time?
I suspect not much, just given distances and times and the ability to get information across those distances. But what's interesting is the other direction. Many of the people in San Diego were aware of what was happening. And so the Spanish soldiers at the Presidio collected money and funds to donate to the Spanish military that were then used in the Spanish alliance with the Americans against the British.
I've worked as a reporter in San Diego for a very long time now, and what's always stood out for me is anytime there is a big national story, there's always a San Diego connection. And what you've just recited to me about local history basically tells me that that tie has existed for some time now, right?
Yes, absolutely. San Diego is just as old as the United States, certainly in European history. Obviously, it's older in terms of Native Americans. But what you see is a lot of the things that are happening on the East Coast that we take to be fundamentally part of American history are shaping events here in San Diego. So San Diego history is unique, but it is always connected to these broader national and global histories.
That was Amita Sharma speaking with San Diego historian David Miller. For years, Hakumba Hot Springs residents have pushed back on a solar energy project that would surround the town. Reporter Elaine Alfaro said the project highlights the tension between the need for renewable energy and preserving a community's history.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Tanya.
The teal doors of Hakumba's community center welcome residents every Wednesday and Sunday. Behind the doors, Tanya Wilkins and her crew of volunteers are hard at work, crafting a home-cooked meal for the community.
It's been awesome for all of us just to have a place to get together to visit.
It serves as a sort of public square for Hakumba, a backcountry town that's home to about 600 people. Earlier that morning, Wilkins stood in the vacant field next to the community center. She talks about the spiritual connection she has to her home, its open spaces, rugged beauty, and Native American history.
I just feel like this long, like whispers and voices and calm and together, like a soft swirl of creation and life, everything old up to now, because it's all still here. All of that old energy is still out here.
That old energy, which also bubbles up through Hakumba's hot springs, is part of what keeps the community together. It's also the lifeblood of their economy. One of the local hotel owners, Jeff Osborne, says his business attracts about 120 visitors a day. However, change is coming to Hakumba that could soon make it look and feel a lot different.
We are in the field that they want to turn into the solar farm, the Hakumba Valley Ranch Solar Farm. And this is right outside of our community center. It's going to be 15 feet tall.
A more than 600-acre solar project is in the works. Plans call for vast arrays of solar panels. If completed, Wilkins and others fear it will cast a long shadow over Hakumba and everything that makes it special.
It can't happen. It just can't happen.
The County of San Diego approved the 90-megawatt solar energy project back in 2021. Its official name is the Hakumba Valley Ranch Energy Park, known in the community as JVR. The community filed a lawsuit against the project in 2021, but lost.
This is still not fair, and we're not going to give up.
Earlier this month, the county's planning department approved one of the final permits for JVR. A county representative said in an emailed statement that development could start any day now. There's little argument in Hakumba about the ongoing need to produce renewable energy. The JVR project promises to produce a 20-year supply of renewable energy for San Diego Community Power, one of the regional energy providers. But residents and advocates see inequities. While some of JVR's energy will go back into Hakumba, it will also power multiple communities far from the town. Bill Powers is an engineer in San Diego and a board member of Protect Our Communities. He's a critic of how Community Power handles these projects.
The JVR contract will be paid for by the Hakumba Hot Springs residents and everyone else who's a customer. It is absolutely fundamental that whatever price is negotiated for that contract will either make the total bill a little more or a little less. The problem is we just don't know because we can't see the contract terms.
San Diego Community Power sent KPBS a copy of the power purchase agreement, also known as a PPA, but it was heavily redacted and did not contain key information regarding the project's price and rates.
We don't know if they're getting the lowest cost PPAs they can find. In fact, it would really help in the case of JVR to know, are you at least getting a good deal?
KPBS requested an interview with San Diego Community Power, but they declined. Jeff Osborne is a local business owner and a leader of the community's opposition.
terms of scale, we thought it was too big and we just wanted it to be smaller. We're not against all of it. We just feel like the developer and the county could probably help us come to some sort of compromise.
In recent years, the county required the project's developer to increase the setback distance between residential homes and the project. The developer, Bayware Americas, also created a $4 million community fund. Representatives from Bayware were not available for an interview in time for this story, but they sent an emailed statement saying, quote, JVR Energy Park will provide a robust local renewable energy supply, improving grid reliability in San Diego County by increasing access to local sources of energy, end quote. Community members say they're not giving up. Osborne said he's preparing another suit. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
La Jolla Playhouse has announced that Tony-nominated director Jessica Stone will be its next artistic director, following the departure of Christopher Ashley at the end of the year. Arts reporter Beth Accomando spoke with Stone about her new role.
Jessica Stone considered herself rooted in East Coast life and a freelancer not tied to any company. So applying to be the artistic director at La Jolla Playhouse was not on her to-do list. Then a friend asked, "Have you ever had an artistic home?"
That was the sort of moment of pivot. One of the things that occurred to me was not so much that I could have an artistic home, which is an amazing notion, but that I could actually be a part of making an artistic home for others. I would love to deepen the incubator that we already are. And so I'm really interested in jumping in that sandbox with the amazing production team at La Jolla.
Managing director Debbie Buchholz was thrilled Stone applied.
She's described co-leading an institution as linking arms, and I am excited by that term and also, you know, kind of can't wait to link arms with her.
Stone will assume her new duties in early 2026.
And I'm just pinching myself. And it's an honor to be a part of carrying on the legacy left by Chris Ashley and Michael Greif and Des McAnuff, these, you know, titans. So I really am thrilled.
Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day.
Connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.